Welcome to the new sound of online radio. Welcome to the sound of Universal Broadcasting Network. Cause you make me feel like I've been locked out of heaven. A mix of today's hits and hard-to-find favorites. Combined with the most entertaining and intriguing talk anywhere. This is your sound. This is the sound of Universal Broadcasting Network at UENradio.com.
Hello, this is Sunny Chase, and you are listening to Singing in the Rain, and I am so grateful to be at UBN. This is my first show. I was a host and producer in another network and was recruited to pop over here, and I am extremely, extremely grateful to be here and very excited to kick it off today. And I know there's some amazing shows in this place that we're going to be rocking together. Ann Walker has an amazing kick-ass show, and so does Tony Sweet. And so I'm going to be talking today about my show, which is Singing in the Rain, and I'm going to ask the question, shouldn't all elections be free and equal? More voices, more choices. I am so proud and honored to have as my guest in studio and from my hometown, Chicago, Illinois, Christina Tobin. Christina is the founder and chair of the Free and Equal Elections Foundation, a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization dedicated to creating open and transparent elections that give power back to the individual voter. Oh, yeah, amen to that. My guest started her career as a nonpartisan ballot access coordinator, helping to collect more than 500,000 signatures to put Ralph Nader on the District of Columbia and 45 state ballot, more than any other third party or independent candidate. Christina Tobin's recent activities have emphasized electoral reform and bringing visibility to alternative candidates. In 2008, she organized debates for the presidential and vice presidential candidates. In 2010, Tobin organized a series of debates for the Illinois gubernatorial candidates, as well as running for California Secretary of State as a Libertarian Party candidate. Whoa, what a year that must have been. Christina more recently co-moderated the 2012 presidential debate with media personality Larry King. I watched that last night. It was amazing. Providing a venue for four U.S. presidential candidates from the Constitution, Green, Justice, and Libertarian parties to address topics that the mainstream media censored, drawing worldwide attention to two-party dominated electoral system and that chokehold that we have. And so, without further ado, and there's much more to talk about, let's bring on Christina Tobin. Hi.
Thank you for having me. You've really done your research. And I'm lighting up right now.
Well, actually, I thought that was pretty humble myself. But so we're going to get right to it. I am really, the first thing that I want to discuss with you, if it's okay, there's so many things, but the first thing I want to hit on is the idea of people being involved in the system, in our country's voting process, and in politics in general, and specifically the fact that there are many, many spiritual people, quote unquote, who feel that it's not really their place and they don't want to watch the news and they don't want to be educated. They don't want to have anything to do with it because they feel it's not in their best interest. And I say at this point, let us all get back involved and reenacted and reinvigorated. And so that is what you're helping us do. So let's chat about that.
I couldn't agree more. I definitely am probably one of the most apolitical people you'll meet. I sometimes think, you know, I'm surrounded by so many amazing experts, whether it's on electoral issues, spirituality, celebrities, and from media. And so here at Free and Equal, I recognize at 17 years of age, I'm 32 years old now, that we have a flawed electoral system. And I could see, you know, from listening to, you know, leaders throughout the years, from Dr. Ron Paul to Ralph Nader, Jesse Ventura, seeing what happened to Ross Perot in the debates. And I recognized even at 17 years of age before that, that the two-party system is just, you know, it's intentionally dividing us. It's controlled by the elite, and we're going to have some really big problems, you know, in the foreseeable future. And so uniting is key, whether you're a very spiritual individual, a political person, just human beings. You know, we are all one, and is how I feel. And you know, we need to unite the system. Again, the two-party system has been intentionally dividing us. it's controlled by a few powerful people, the Rothschild family, so on. And the best interest of the people is really not good, not happening here in the near future. Our government is shifting seemingly towards a dictatorship, some say. That's scary.
Mm-hmm.
We all know what the problems are, most of us, from NDAA to NSA to Patriot Act. But here at Free and Equal, we're here to offer a long-term solution. I will be doing this for the rest of my life full-time.
Well, thank you so much for bringing all of this forward and having a place where these kinds of debates and this kind of action can happen. I mean, I think of our founding fathers who actually, Thomas Jefferson and Washington, really, really warned us against a two-party system and really wanted us to have more more parties. And then here we are, we're basically with two. I did see your debate that you moderated with Larry King, and there was Rocky Anderson, who's a good friend of mine. I can't wait to have him on the show. And Jill Stein and Governor Johnson from New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And then the other guy. I forgot his
Virgil
name.
Good.
Yes,
with the Constitution Party.
He was quite a character. I felt like he was almost a Saturday Night Live skit. But the other ones were, you know, amazingly powerful. Of the people, by the people, for the people. Okay. We need to remember that.
Yeah, you know, I was working as Ralph Nader's National Ballot Access Coordinator in 2008. I remember walking into the DNC and where they had all the media and everything, and somehow I ended up having the pass, and the other guys forgot their passes. So I'm walking with Ralph, and I love media, PR, and he looks around. He's like, Christina, he says, do you realize that, you know, I could interview with every one of these media outlets, but I won't even reach 5% of the people of what the Commission on Presidential Debates would reach. And, you know, just getting to know him and recognizing, you know, amongst leaders, and Ralph has taught me as a leader, he's one of the most relentless individuals I met. I spoke with him a couple weeks ago, and he's like, Christina, the biggest compliment you could ever get from Mr. Nader is you're relentless, Christina. Most people give up at first base, and you just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep going. Great job. You know, keep going with this fest. I spoke with Dr. Ron Paul not so long ago. I love his quote, if you could ever bring about revolutionary changes, two things would be required. Young people would have to be involved, and you would need music.
Yes.
Well,
absolutely.
I'm listening to our leaders, Ralph Nader. My favorite quote of him is, the function of leadership is to create more leaders, not followers. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I do at Free and Equal, working with interns, student groups, from Students for Liberty to Normal to, you know, all these different amazing groups. We're bringing together Occupy and Tea Party leaders. We truly, there's more of us than there are of them, of honest people that just want to live a healthy life.
Absolutely.
And in order for technology to advance, I believe there's a cure. You know, I've had close ones, I believe many of us have, if not directly, indirectly, lost from cancer and other things that I feel that there will be remedies for in the very, very near future. But in order to achieve that, we need to first and foremost fix our electoral system and bring the power back to the people. And again, we have a long-term solution for that, Free and Equal.
Yes. And so regarding that, again, I mean, in the 60s, for hundreds of years in this country, of course, our country was founded on rebels. Absolutely. There's so many things we're abolishing, and we're going to have an incredible country. And there's so much power and possibility here. And the idea that we have really kind of gone to sleep, and in the 60s, it was taking it to the streets, and people were very, very active. And then we had many of our heroes shot in front of us. I mean, it brings tears to my eyes to even think now, you know, Bobby and Jack and Martin Luther King, and the idea that what would have been. As a matter of fact, I have a quote here that I want to speak of with Bobby Kennedy. That is so fabulous. Actually, I'll find it in a minute. I don't have it right in front of me, but I do want to mention it. But the idea that we as a country were not allowing a lot of things to go by. I mean, even the Bush-Gore situation. I mean, to the fact that we were not really, really taking that to the streets and you know, yelling and screaming and saying, how is this possible? So I am so grateful to see what you're doing, because I feel that you, your organization, the people you're working with, and the model of this is, again, taking back our power and educating ourselves and getting ready to be involved again.
I wanted to definitely comment on the going to sleep. I mean, the system, it's intentional. Mainstream media, our government, they are intentionally putting us to sleep in the sense of making people want to give up. I remember on a recent interview I had with somebody, this lady, doesn't really matter much the interview, but nationally, she just was like, well, I give up. You know, this is just not going to work. And I looked at her and said, well, why are you here? Why are you supposedly fighting for liberty if you've given up? Because then they've won. And for them, winning, that is not an option. And history is on our side. I remember meeting with a father of a great friend of mine of intellectualrevolution.tv. It's a great website. I go there every day for sources to learn about what's going on in the world, media documentaries. It's intellectualrevolution.tv. And his dad, you know, admitted that, you know, I've been influenced, you know, by the media and wanting to wake up. And I could see that sense of hope with Free and Equal and just having those conversations, even at the Zeitgeist Festival. A lovely lady, ironically, directly tied to Peter Joseph, the founder of the Zeitgeist Festival, I spoke at with many other amazing people. Met you there, actually.
That's right.
Peter Joseph. But I met her in the bathroom. She's like, I just want you to know that you're the first person, Free and Equal, the first time that I see hope. I have not ever seen it. And this is a direct person to Peter. I found out 15 minutes after just talking to her.
Excellent.
You know, so it just was a very, there's those sort of comments that keep me going and, you know, and always optimistic, because if we don't shift in that direction, then not good things are going to happen to all of us, whether we're spiritual or not.
That's exactly right. And I love that you mentioned the hope and someone called you the hope, because I agree with that. And actually, what a nice segue. You didn't even know.
Myself and everybody in the movement. I mean, I see that, yeah. Yes, I'm the founder, but all the people we work with, you know, from the Jesse Venturas of the Amber Lines to you, to Marianne Williamson and so on, Peter Joseph, the list goes on and on.
The Gambles, Kim and Carter.
The Thrive music of Kimberly and Foster Gamble.
And the movie.
Yeah.
And well, I love this. As I say, we didn't plan this, but you were mentioning The Hope. And there's a book that actually Marianne Williamson gave me at one point called The Hope by Andrew Harvey. And this is where I have the quote from Bobby Kennedy that he said in 1966. Each time, I love this, each time a person stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others or strikes out against injustice, he or she sends forth a tiny ripple of hope. And crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, those ripples build a current that can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance. Oh, whoa. So from 50 years ago, or more actually at this point, from Bobby saying that, and the hope is what we all need to have in order to continue. And this is an amazing country, and we have so many freedoms in this country. One thing I wanted to mention to you, I don't think I told you this before, I lived in South Africa. And I was there during apartheid, and I was there when Nelson Mandela was in jail, in prison. And right after I left, actually, there was the election that that finally what they call the Africans, which are the different tribal people who lived there, and then they call white people Europeans, even if you are or not. So the Africans were able to vote for the first time, and they stood in line for 8 hours or more to vote, and then brought in Nelson Mandela. So the idea that in this country, I mean, we do forget. I try to remind my kids as often as possible. You know, there was so much blood, sweat, and tears for us to be able to vote. I mean, think of women. We haven't even had the vote for 100 years yet. African Americans have not even had the vote for 100 years yet. So this is a right, a privilege, a blessing that we have in this country to be able to use our voice, our vote, our brains, our energy to say what we want. And don't you find so many people are whining and complaining about what's going on, but then if you ask them if they vote, they say, well, you know, what does it matter? So I'm looking forward to having that shift.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I interviewed on RT America a couple months ago, and they were one of many amazing media entities that covered our presidential debate last year. And the first question they had was about long lines and the voter process. I'm like, well, yeah, you know, long lines, yes, are an issue. But, you know, then there are other issues like the NSA, the NDAA, drone warfare, you know, the Federal Reserve. I mean, the list goes on and on. So the voting process is some, you know, why do we have a low voter turnout? Well, I mean, long lines are one thing. Day of a week is another. But we really don't have people in office that people want to vote for, is what I really think is the heart, the core of it. And the money behind it, I'm sure most of your listeners are already aware, of course, is Democrat-Republican alike, is tied to the elite. The power is to be who not only control the two-party system that's been intentionally playing us and dividing us for well over a century now, and then some, but they also control the Federal Reserve, the monetary system. A lot of people want to have campaign finance reform. I do want money and politics to become a thing of the past, and I know it's a bold thing to say, but with the foresight that I have in speaking with so many leaders, I do foresee that happening in the future, as well as parties becoming a thing of the past. But, you know, they control all these things, the Federal Reserve, the Commission on Presidential Debates, as you mentioned. I had the, it was lovely to be able to moderate. I kind of took a step back in the debate because Larry King was moderating it with myself for that one. But, you know, over 20 million people viewed that. We were top 10 trending on Twitter. What really caught me in that moment, that debate, my favorite moment of the entire thing, not only just having these candidates together, which might I add, getting the four of them together was much harder than getting Larry King to moderate. I mean, I can't even tell you. I might write a book someday of the behind the scenes of dealing with parties and campaigns. But the best moment was a 3-minute standing ovation, thousands of students in the audience just standing up and clapping for 3 minutes straight. And I got off the stage, or like your top 10 trending on Twitter, I'm like, what? This is just like a dream come true. Literally 2-3 weeks before, we were at a venue for 100 people. And the next thing you know, we're at the Hilton Chicago that holds 10, 20,000. You know, it's just packed, you know. And the media and Al Jazeera covering it, RT America, C-SPAN, and so on and so on. MSNBC came in, Lawrence O'Donnell. It's just a list of people and the exposure we had. And I recognize it's the youth. The youth are the future. The Zogby polls, like, I already knew it, but it was so strong. The 18 to 28-year-olds are the game changers. They're the ones that are going to come out in full force.
And they always have been. I mean, that's the whole thing. That those are the people. That's that new energy that comes through. It's like, okay, I mean, in every time there's ever been people taking it to the streets. I mean, again, think of the 60s. Those were college students who were doing that. And people have a tendency, as they get older and older, it's like, well, I I'm just going to get comfortable and be on the couch, and that cannot happen.
Realizing there's no job, so why not run for office? I mean, you know, really is my take on it. You touched a little bit earlier on the flawed voting process, and, you know, yes, I am all for everybody voting. I don't personally hold it against those who haven't voted in the past. You know, it's because the system does lead us to believe our vote counts. And I mean, it does from within, but it's just the system is so rigged. The ballot box is flawed intentionally by the two-party system elite that controls it. But I'm going to hold against those who don't vote in the future, beginning with the 2014 local races. And we're going to see those kids come out in full force. And the way we're going to bring them together is through universal music, the music and the youth. And again, that quote of Ron Paul, I have to say it one more time, if you ever bring about a revolutionary changes, two things would be involved. Young people would have to be involved, and you would need music. Hence, this United We Stand festival that we're kicking off at UCLA this October.
I definitely want to talk more about United We Stand, but back to the youth. Again, I think that education is an extremely important aspect of really so many things. I don't want to say everything because I don't want to be that inclusive, but I think in so many things, and that's even the reason I'm doing this show, Singing in the Rain, but with the tagline, The Power of One, because we as one, I remind myself, it's really for myself that I say that, and for anyone who's listening, to remember that we do have that power of one. We do make a difference. And educating ourselves, really listening and looking. I mean, I'm hearing things on the internet where people are talking about, you know, there was a shark doing something. You know, someone can take a Photoshop picture and put it somewhere, and then the next thing it's on CNN, and then people in, Dubai think it actually happened. And, I mean, that's one thing that I want to always remind people, is just not to take any kind of news information at face value, and then certainly don't spread it. I mean, let's do our homework. Let us dig in a little bit and get educated and know what's up. So that's one thing that I loved about the debates when I watched your debate with Larry King, and it was an hour and a half of rock'em sock'em, nonstop information. And none of these people were afraid. They weren't being bought by anybody, so they had all done their homework, and they were telling it like it is, and they were throwing all these accurate stats out about what's happening with our incarceration rate in this country, what's happening with children poverty, all the different things that are really happening in our own country, and being able to actually let us know. And I think if people really are more educated, including the college students or the young people from 18 to 25 or 27, whether they're in college or not, to actually know. And they have the energy to do it. So that's what I'm looking forward to and hoping really happens, so that they can really bring it.
Yeah, the Commission on Presidential Debates, it's run by the former chair of the Democratic Republican Party. I've learned through our researchers, $50, $60 million is funneled in really directly from the elite. And they use that $50, $60 million to buy all the space on ABC, NBC, CBS, who come in return to sponsor it and cover it. And it's a tool. It's a tool to provoke chaos, not only within the United States, but throughout the world. And so to touch the topic of the youth and educating them, so important. I do anticipate Free and Equal will be growing a very strong relationship with one of, I think, the strongest student groups throughout not only the U.S., the world, up and coming, like Free and Equal so quickly, with Alexander McCubbin of Students for Liberty. I would strongly recommend you having him on your show.
Okay.
But, you know, he's traveling so many chapters throughout the world, and we've had so many of his student groups through various universities reach out to us about putting together debates within universities. And we also have students that want to create Free and Equal courses, classes, that become the umbrella
Excellent.
Group to bring groups like Students for Liberty to Normal, Marijuana Policy Project, you know, to all the different, you know, whether it's Thrive and just everyone in these leaders. And imagine our talent that we have confirmed. You know, Rocky Anderson, he's going to be a professor at this fall at the University of Utah, former mayor out of Salt Lake City, ran Justice Party line presidential last year. He's going to be a teacher there. But I mean, imagine a Free and Equal course that has, leaders that are part of our movement come in and speak to the students, you know, to spice it up, have fun. Musicians, celebrities, doesn't matter. The Oliver Stones, you know, to the Public Enemies. It just does not, you know, all of us together. And so when you can educate the students from within and building those groups, Free and Equal, we're here to build all these groups across the spectrum, you can really purify the university, the educational system from within. And that's really a strategy we have coming around the corner,
that.
Working with Students for Liberty and maybe Young Americans for Liberty a little bit, but it's a lot harder to get in. Students for Liberty's agenda is just so broad and open and transparent.
Again, I think I love this idea so much. And again, I feel very strongly about planting the seeds. I do feel very strongly about, and then those seeds come up and they're shoots here and they're shoots here. And then all of those plants connect, you know, so it's not just Free and Equal. It's also all the different organizations that are happening, young and old, the Democratic, Republican, Justice, Green. I mean, that is the situation about bringing it together and diversity and unity. There's this Latin expression, e pluribus unum, which is unity and diversity. And that's what, I mean, come on, people. I want to read this quote. There's a book that we were talking about earlier that I know you're running out to buy right now. I got this from Marianne Williamson. I love this book. It's called Healing the Soul of America, with the tagline, Reclaiming Our Voices as Spiritual Citizens. And I had a chat with her the other day, and I said, you've got to bring this book back out. It was 12 years ago. And she said, there wasn't really a listening then. She said, Sonny, I think Simon & Schuster would not be happy with me. They lost a little dough on that book, possibly. I said, but it's now's the time. You know, sometimes it's just about the timing. And I love this one quote about the American dream. The American dream, when best understood, is the fact that we have the right to dream at all. It is the right to expect that our talents and abilities and diligence, not the prejudices of others, will determine the nature of the lives we live. That is a spiritual principle and the radical thought to which this nation was committed at its founding. Okay, come on, people.
Yeah, it's no joke that I'm going to be getting that book very quickly after this interview. There's a strong energy component, and Marianne Williamson's name has come up in the circle Free and Equal so much, and she does. I've spoken to her several times. She supports what we're doing, which is amazing, and will be a part of our future festivals and tour. So I look forward to finally meeting her. She's really, I've never had a name come up so many times in circles.
It's because she's getting much more active about politics, and she did an event a couple months ago in November called Sister Giant, and it was really about bringing women into politics. Girls, women, and she had Rocky Anderson there and many other phenomenal people. And it was a two-day event, and by the end of it, there was so much power in that room with all of us going through 2 days together with so many incredible speakers and all that. But again, bringing together the idea of spirituality and politics. I mean, of course, this is something that's been talked about from Plato to Aristotle to our founding fathers through, of course, Martin Luther King, constantly talking about, you know, not just sitting back and not doing anything, having a little bit of anger, having a little bit of fight to make a difference, you know, and galvanizing people and bringing small groups together, large groups together, you know, whoever it is. But yes, this has been a concept that's as long as I think written word was, that politics and spirituality or humanity is all involved, compassion, understanding, and wanting the best for all of us. And not, I mean, you know, when I sit back and I look at the different parties arguing, and I think, you know what, we all breathe the same air, we all have the same sky above us, we all drink the same water for the most part. You know, we're all on this land, and we all have perhaps mothers that we want to have taken care of, or children that we want to have handled some situation with health or something. I mean, we all have that. We're all human beings together in this process, in this experiment, in this democracy in the United States of America. So let's bring free and equal, more voices, more choices to our world. I think I'm going to ask our engineer, I think we are going to a bit of a station break, but I'm sorry, John is telling me I have a call. Actually, let us have our call first, and then we'll go to break. Hello, caller.
Appreciate it. Hi, Danny, Los Angeles.
Hi, Danny.
I appreciate your topic.
Hello.
You guys have great insights about keeping the hope, education, but it appears that much.
Whoops, Danny, I think we're losing you a little bit.
Excuse me?
We're losing you. Go ahead again.
Yeah, it appears that, you know, we're at a point beyond return, okay, with DHS, FEMA camps, bullets. That suppression of the voice of America through the Occupy thing, and what we've seen, the organized suppression that was coordinated across the nation with all the mayors and DHS and FBI, and the
yes.
types of things that have been occurring with the fines and the fines.
Go ahead, Danny. Or actually, can I interject just for a minute, Christina, and then you if you want to take that too. I'll just quickly say to that, I appreciate your feelings about that, and I also say that all of these things, while all those things are happening, it really is also about sort of everything coming up. You know, Occupy was an amazing event that was across the country. Jean Houston, so many politicians did get involved with that. As much as it looks like it didn't do anything, it did do a lot. It did do a lot, actually. It did wake people up. It did. Listen, politicians read polls. If nothing else, that is their. They read those polls every day, or their peeps read those polls every day. And if things are going the way that they don't want, or something starts activating in this country, there will be a light that shines on it. So, what do you have something to say to that, Christina?
I do, and. Imagine an organization that brings the grassroots individuals, whether Occupy, there's so many pure people there. It became infiltrated, you know, by the system somewhat, and left the good people kind of hanging. What do I do? And same for tea parties. You know, there's a lot of I've seen, and as they become, you know, some of them bigger, I mean, you have like Mark Meckler, who left the Tea Party Patriots because it became infiltrated, and I commend him for that. So there are a lot of good people across the spectrum, and they are hopping on board and supporting Free and Equal and the long-term plans we have, you know, through a 10-stop tour we're going to have throughout the country next year. We're not going to stop. And so, again, if you give up, That's what the system wants us to do, to give up. But see, the one thing that they underestimated is the power of social media and technology. And and it is just something our founding fathers were missing when they wrote that, you know, that pretty important, you know, the Constitution. And so with that component, and when you create a massive, let's just say, database listing every single candidate running for office, beginning with the local races, congressional, whatnot, 2014, and you highlight the money in politics. Okay, if somebody's taking money from a super PAC, if you don't know the amount, who's on the board, you're going to know the intent of that super PAC. And suddenly you're going to see the cockroaches scattering. You have a light. And that's what we'll be doing at Free and Equal, is launching the Election Assistant National Database, which is the heart of everything that I want to do. And the agenda goes far beyond fixing the electoral process. What is seemingly a daunting, cannot be done task. It really isn't. That's the easier part, I have to say. And I say that in utmost confidence because I've been able to surround myself with so many like-minded individuals, leaders, positive, spiritual, political. It just doesn't matter. Just good people with utmost integrity that can all unite on the fact that we want to live longer, healthier lives. And when we fix the electoral process, my real agenda is to not only, to find a cure for everything, but for people to live longer, healthier, happier lives.
That's right.
Stem cell research, technology. Our government has been intentionally suppressing technology, I've learned. I mean, over 5,000 patents plus since the 1900s that have just been trashed, the government not allowing it. It's so obvious that, you know, the gas, electric ties in. So, you know, as technology evolves, we get divisive on environmental issues. Well, who's going to argue with having something that's not only better for our environment, but cheaper?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to happen as we fix the system.
And again, with that education. So, Danny, do you vote?
I used to, but I've lost a lot of faith. I feel that the machines are corrupt. The system is totally corrupt. Everything in government is corrupt. There's not a politician out there that's standing up for like a reinvestigation, a proper investigation of, say, 9/11, or all the problems with like the Boston bombing, the Sandy Hook. There's so many discrepancies that nobody will stand up and say anything about, whether it be mainstream media, government officials. They all can't be that blind to all the indiscrepancies with these situations, and they just so they can't be that blind. They know what's going on. They're involved. They know that there's major. I understand. It's like they're surrounded by landmines, and to get to work, they have to dodge 50 to 100 of them. They have to walk around them.
Well, and it's also picking your battles. You know, that's the thing. I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Danny, but it's also about, picking the battles. I mean, there are so many issues in this country, and I agree that nothing should go unchecked and everything. At the same time, I do feel that at this point, and hey, I've been like you. I mean, I will say after Watergate, I was sort of disillusioned. And I have a lot of family members who are actually in politics, and I even still, have that feeling. So I appreciate what you're saying about what is, and I also want to just share with you the possibility of what can be. And so that is what we're here today to do, to bring, and to keep beating that drum of what can be.
Sure.
And so, Danny, be on our team, okay?
Of course, yeah. One thing I wanted to say, I believe in the hope. I believe in the power of the Internet. The Internet is what will change everything.
It is.
It's so much more effective to do everything on the Internet as opposed to going out and protesting or doing any of that. It's about organizing on the Internet, using the Internet. It is our only tool. But they already know this. They know there's a mass awakening. They know people are waking up.
Right.
And they're already ready for it. That's
yeah.
why when they want to pull the plug on whatever it be, or, fake some nuclear bombs or collapse the economy with some scare or something, they're ready to take. They know that their time is short in regards, because people are waking up and they are networking.
I definitely agree.
But they're already prepared for it with the NDAA issues.
Exactly. Well, Danny, I understand from our, you're absolutely, there is so much to that. And at the same time, again, we're going to stay with, there's so many things like that that we can deal with. And at the same time, there are many, many people who are coming through, like the Rocky Andersons, like the Jill Steins, who are coming through to make a difference. And I don't mean to say bye-bye to you, but I must because my engineer tells me we're going to a break. Thank you so much for calling.
I would have voted if Ron Paul was there. I would have voted if Ron Paul was
okay.
in there.
Okay,
thank you, Danny.
Thank you so much. Pleasure. So anyway, we will stay tuned, and we'll be back in a minute.
Welcome to the new sound of online radio. Welcome to the sound of Universal Broadcasting Network.
Because you make me feel like I've been locked out of heaven.
A mix of today's hits and hard-to-find favorites. Combined with the most entertaining and intriguing talk anywhere. This is your sound. The sound of Universal Broadcasting.
Now that you've found UBN Radio and discovered our quality talk shows, it's time to spread the word to friends, family, and the universe. 24 hours of music and talk. Radio without limits. That's why people keep coming back for more. That's UBNRadio.com.
Hi, you are back, and this is Sunny Chase, and you're listening to Singing in the Rain, and I have Christina Tobin with me, who is the founder and chair of Free and Equal. More voices, more choices. Before I bring you back in, Christina, I want to have another quote from Marianne Williamson's Healing the Soul of America, because I appreciate Danny's call. At the same time, I want to remind us that there is hope and there is possibility. I do want to read this. It is the political process itself that lacks, and that is because neither our hearts nor our higher minds are currently particularly active there. We need to recreate politics now as a mystical pursuit, bringing our souls to bear on the effort to make the world a better place. Thank you, Marianne Williamson. Thank you, amazing book, Healing the Soul of America. And again, Christina, I want to bring you back into the conversation. Let's talk for a minute specifically about United We Stand, which is going to be an event that's going to be held at UCLA in October.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about
that. Yeah, I really enjoyed what I believe it was Danny had to say. Was it Danny or Donnie?
Mm-hmm.
But talking about Republicans and Democrats, I just wanted to briefly touch that and then go into the fest. But I just don't hold fault even at the D's and R's. I see that if they don't follow, it's almost like a system where they become reliant on it, feeding their families, you know, and kids and that a lot of them go in pure, but inevitably become slowly infiltrated over time, and they become reliant on the system. And I feel a huge disconnect between the federal and the state leaders. I've worked with state leaders, Democrat and Republican alike, California, Arizona,
Chicago.
Chicago as well, to come out and help defeat with libertarians, Greens, independents, some of the worst, like Prop 14 in California. We tried to in 2010, but we did successfully beat it last year. Prop 121, which means only the top two vote getters in the primary advance the general election. It could be two Democrats or two Republicans. Wow. Even the D's and R's, state chairs, leaders came out. They said, we will completely lose control of our parties. And that was a real eye-opening experience. Of course, third parties would cease to exist under that. So I just don't hold fault or anger. I even sometimes feel, I know like sometimes people don't agree, but I feel sad. If Obama doesn't follow the system, something not good may happen, you know, to him or people, loved ones around him. And so, you know, even the elite at the top that are so dependent on making money from the electric, gas, and so on, there's other ways for them to make money. As we fix the system, they can put that money into great things. I mean, even the guys at the top that are the heart of the problem. So
absolutely.
As we unite faster within this movement as leaders, and one thing I want to say is the system may be prepared, but they're not prepared at the level about what we're about to be at. No way at all. And as we unite quicker, the Ron Pauls, Ralph Naders, you and I, the Marians, everyone, we're all going to be safer. I think
cleaner.
That a lot of our names are, you know, we're not going to be prone to anything negative happening to things around us. I know of, you know, just of learning about Michael Hastings and just things that are pretty, you know, not comfortable to talk about, but that will be nipped with this movement, I feel, and great things will evolve. So I just wanted to address that and then move on to the festival. Thanks for your time.
yes, thank you about that. And actually, I want to say one more thing before we get to the festival, or actually this leads into it, which is that there are more, there are just more and more people getting energized. And by the time this show ends, which is in about 10, 12 minutes, I want to make sure that we have action steps and things for people to actually do and feel that they can be part of this process, because again, the power of one. So I appreciate again Danny's, and I hope Danny's call, and I hope he decides to vote and be active, and that we all do, because again, even though the system feels a bit broken and they're the hanging chads and all these things that happen, I still feel, again, with the blood, sweat, and tears and the people standing in line for 8 hours in South Africa and all the things that have led up to this possibility of us at least doing that step. And again, what happens when people vote for the most part is we do tend to be more invested. We do tend to educate ourselves a little bit more so that we feel, you know, not like complete idiots when we go in there. And I think that's a really important aspect of what we're doing. It's all a process. And again, we are all in this together. So speaking of being in this together, united we stand, girl.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it.
It's a dream come true. The level we're at, United We Stand. For those listening, you can learn more about it if you go to Free and Equal, freeandequal.org. That's freeandequal.org. And this United We Stand Festival, again, the messaging of Dr. Ron Paul, the revolutionary change, bring together music and the youth, is what this is all about, making it fun. And we're holding our first of a 10-stop university bus tour, United We Stand Fest at UCLA this October 12th on a Saturday. What was a 4-hour event has now turned into a 10-hour event. We were contemplating a full weekend, but a 10-hour day is definitely a, we can pull it off. We have so many public enemy, Chuck D, Professor Griff. I've been speaking with him several times this week, Professor Griff. Oh, Chuck D will be on any interview. He's going to be on national media outlets in the next couple weeks.
Jesse Ventura will be there.
You know, from InfoWars to RT America, Current TV, and throughout New York. Jesse Ventura is confirmed to speak there. Amber Lyon, former 3-time Emmy Award-winning journalist, CNN whistleblower, will be there from Saving Abel. We are announcing tomorrow, and I'll go ahead and announce it on the air today, several members of the Wu-Tang Clan are going to be performing at our, that's huge.
Wow.
I mean, and
that's very, very powerful.
And it is. And they believe in our cause. And I have goosebumps even talking about it. And now we have contact with the Marleys, you know, Bob Marley's children, to Will I Am, to just spiraling, to Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins. And so we've got speakers like that. The speaker
list
goes on and on.
Let me ask you a question. Let me break in just for a second regarding mm-hmm. that. You're, all of these people are being attracted, and that is because why? What is this accomplishing?
Sure, it's not a one-time thing. It's a long-term thing. It's a kickoff for a 10-stop university bus tour that will inspire the youth to run for office.
Specifically that.
Ralph Nader, Ron Paul, they've all said the local races are far more important than the presidential race. The mainstream media leads you to believe, which is, you know, really run by AIPAC, as we all know from the inside. I have no fear in saying it. It's just the truth. But I mean, that media is going to become a thing of the past. Honest media like Amber Lyon and the Ben Swans and Josh Tolley, you know, are going to rise very quickly. And so when we actually inspire these kids to run for office, what else is there to do? Mm-hmm. Let's run for office, because there's really no jobs out there. I mean, it's our last chance to save the world. It's going to become even more obvious in the upcoming months to everyone, I feel, or most people. But when they do run for office, we're going to launch an election assistant, which is the heart of Free and Equal. Mm-hmm. That lists not only every single candidate running for office, you know, a 20-point plan, are they against the NDA, SOPA, but all things they can agree on left and right. You know, I mean, it's just to those universities that want to do the debates, we're going to feed those debates live, you know, through the database. To the United We Stand, we're having so many speakers, from Normal to Occupy to Tea Party leaders to Students for Liberty, Young Americans for Liberty, 3 student leaders there, through Ron Paul's faction there. But, you know, imagine those speakers turning into panel discussions on mm-hmm. war, GMO, spirituality, political scientists, technology, innovation's really key. And we're going to incorporate those panel discussions into being tools for the kids who are going to run for office, to educate them, to keep
Excellent.
Them pure.
Yes.
And then, of course, I touched briefly before, those umbrella groups, the student groups evolving throughout the universities, not only within the U.S. I plan on traveling and meeting with leaders throughout the world.
Perfect.
In the next decade, if that, I move quick. So,
excellent.
So it really is it really is true, and you can learn more about it. We're a nonprofit at freeandequal.org.
Well, what I really could not believe is to find out that only 12% of the registered voters voted in the Los Angeles mayoral election that was just a couple months ago. 12% of the registered. So this is really something that I think is a misnomer, really a myth, that the local, I mean, the school board is extremely important, that these local, that these local positions are not that important, but everyone gets involved in the sexy, wild, you know, presidential things. But it really is the feeding ground. I mean, who is our Congress? You know, who is your congressman in your area? Do you even know? Do you have a relationship with them? You can't. I'm not asking you. I know you
do. It's not easy to find. There's no universal location where you can go on and say, who's running for office in my area? Oh, there's 15, 20 people. I mean, it's so segregated, and it's intentional.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to bring that all together. And again, the Honest Media, we have a free and equal network as well. What sets it apart from the others is we're here to pull in the information and push it out. We're here to build others. So whether it's celebrities, media, you know, I've just, you know, the people I've been interviewing, G. Edward Griffin, the author of A Creature of Jekyll Island, Federal Reserve, to Dr. Jill Stein, to Rocky Anderson. I mean, it goes on and on. Gary Johnson, governor. So we're here to pull in and build those entities. And the music industry has been intentionally suppressed as well. It's watered down. I foresee agencies becoming a thing of the past. I'm dealing directly more so with musicians every day. You know, in Hollywood, knowing Oliver Stone, Sean Stone's son is confirmed to speak at our fest. I anticipate Oliver Stone will be soon, as well as speakers like Dennis Kucinich and Chris Hedges and Cornel West. If you're listening, please reach out to them. They're almost on the verge of saying, yes, this is it.
Mm.
And so, you know, in any case, you know, bringing them all together, it's just, it's really, I feel so fortunate to be in a position. I've seen this for so long. At 17 years of age, when my father ran for governor in Illinois, and I saw him wrongfully knocked off the ballot because he was a fighter for the people, and I saw the ballot access barriers of signature requirements to keep more voices of choice off the ballot, and I said, wow, this is a rigged system, and I can't fix it from within. You know, look at I'm not a big can't person, but look at Dr. Ron Paul. I know a dead end when I see it. The two-party system, the parties would rather crash the party than let somebody else take over. So the direction his son is going in is a dead end.
Well, when you're mentioning about your father being in politics, thank you. We have like 5 minutes left, so we're going to go so fast. My uncle was head counsel to Kennedy and worked on a lot of it, was very, very close with the family, and my aunt was undersecretary of defense for Carter. And so as a young person, I was able to really, I was just, and that's just many, many people in my family were, you know, kind of movers and shakers in that way. And it felt in such integrity in those days. It probably wasn't completely, but as a young person, listening to the debates that we had in our family, I mean, they were pretty interesting, I mean, because they were really working with the people. But what they spoke about felt so in integrity. And again, I was a young, naive Pollyanna at that point. But I just look forward to the day where, I don't even want to use the word going back, but going forward into incredible integrity, incredible knowing that we do have the power. Like Margaret Mead said, never doubt the power of a thoughtful, a thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world, because indeed it always has been. And so that is what you're doing with your organization. And again, action steps, people, when it comes to our country, it's our country, of the people, by the people, for the people, not of somebody else who's going to be doing it. It's us. We are, you know, it's our country. There are almost 335 million people in this country right now, and there aren't that many politicians. So we really do have a lot of power. Thank you, Danny, for pointing out that we may not, but I'm going to say, you know what, Danny? Yes, we do.
Around in the end.
That's right. We do have the power. Mm-hmm. And so I think we gave out all of your information about where they can get in touch with you. Of course, you can get to me, and all the information is on the UBN website. And so we are coming to an end, but I want you to know that we're going to be going out to a song called Dancing in the Streets, which I absolutely love, because it is a song that I've always loved using. I used it at the other network, and it was this idea of, let's come, doesn't matter what you wear, just as long as you are there, come on, people, gather in the streets. And it's community, it's power, it's using our voice, it's using our vote, it's using our love, it's using our, again, community, and knowing that we can make a difference, and not sitting on the couch, but coming to the streets, dancing in the streets. I found out recently, actually, there's been a whole book written about Dancing in the Streets, and that it was actually an anthem for the Black Panthers and the Civil Rights. So I'm like, okay, that is totally what's happening. So we're going to, but don't you believe that it also is in the education and reading books like Marianne's, God, I feel like I'm totally, you know, promoting this one today, but also The Hope by Andrew Harvey, A Guide to Sacred Activism. I mean, come on. We need to do that. Is there anything else that we need to do, John, before we pop off?
No, you're doing great.
Okay.
I just want to, you know, I want to thank you. I mean, it's individuals like yourself, and I look forward, Free Nico looks forward to working with you long term. You just have such a great energy to you, and I've been yearning for these sort of interviews more than what I've been having for my entire life, and I knew it would come. This is one of the first, and I look forward to connecting with more of a spiritual aid, you know, just a really great. So thank you for that. And, you know, Free Nico, we are a nonprofit. You know, United We Stand Fest, we were offered $500,000 from a corporation to fund that, and I turned it down. And it's just not an option.
Girl.
It's not an option. And, you know, we seek supporters from, you know, organic, GMO, just people putting good food in the kids' stomachs, great music with messaging. And so if you want to support us, freeandequal.org, you can go there. And thank you. Again, it's individuals like you that are going to help change the world and bring about integrity.
Thank you so much. And I will be there at United We Stand. We'll be talking more about that. And I will absolutely be a supporter of you. Thank you so much. I'd love to be on your team. And you on my team, and Danny, you can be on our team, and John be on our team. And so we are going to go out to Martha Reeve and the Vandellas dancing in the streets.
The views and opinions expressed in these radio programs are those of the individual hosts and do not reflect the official policy or position of Universal Broadcasting Network.